time for a good old blast from the past. Yes.
Why don't you two guys just have yourself a good time reminiscing about the good old days?
Throwback vibes are occurring on thingsthatsays.net.
Hello, this is the show where we go back in time and we look at some of the best feuds in all of wrestling, feuds, stories, whatever it may be. Throwback vibes are definitely occurring on thingsthatsays.net. And for
ready
us...
To jump back in? You ready to jump back into the TARDIS?
Ready to jump back in. I feel like we've gone too far back in time before they had antibiotics and before they had immunizations because I feel sicker than a mother.
Absolutely.
I feel sicker than a midwife before she figured out what penicillin was.
Why a midwife, though?
I don't know. When was penicillin discovered? I just wanted it to sound like a very...
I think it's like 1920s.
Well, I feel sicker than before that.
Really?
Yes. Before the 1920s, it was a dark time. They didn't have penicillin, nor did they have sliced bread at that time. So
it wasn't the greatest thing since sliced bread.
No.
Why does everyone say that? Like, there are many things greater than sliced bread.
I don't know, man. Sliced bread is pretty convenient.
It is. It's sliced cheese, but that's not great.
It's like when you open an orange and it's already sliced for you. That's amazing.
You're spoiled, you people over there.
That's pre-sliced by nature. That's amazing.
Yeah, but, I bet people still buy already peeled oranges, too.
That's how I know Mother Nature is a woman, because she pampers us. She pre-sliced our oranges for us. All we have to do is peel.
That's right.
Yeah, Mother Nature. Thank good looking
even,
out.
Even chocolate oranges are put in segments.
That's true. Actually, you know what? I've never had a chocolate orange.
Ah, you need to have a chocolate orange.
When was the chocolate orange invented?
I don't know.
When was the first time you ever had a chocolate orange?
Ah, I remember it like it was just yesterday.
Really?
It wasn't yesterday, by the way.
No.
Was a good few years back.
Was it perhaps in 2009?
Maybe it was.
Well, I know maybe something for sure. In 2009, that is the year that we are starting this glorious edition of Throwback Vibes.
Look, last month we did the feud of 2008.
Yeah.
This year.
This might be my feud of the 2000s so far.
Wow.
Simply because of how long they allowed it to go without losing momentum and what it's meant for the wrestling business so far.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think the fact that they let it go on so long and the fact that it was so organic had something to do with it being outside of the WWE and Nashville companies?
What do you mean?
As in, I think it got time to develop. You don't have a show every single night where you can overdo it.
Oh, yeah. That's absolutely true, too. Because think about it this way. At the time, this where the feud really became popular was in...
We haven't even said what it is yet. We're just going to leave you in suspense for a minute.
Well, not until the end are we going to tell you who we're talking about, which is the whole time. No, but yeah, well, the feud we're talking about, and if you're listening to the podcast, you know, obviously, because it's in the title, but we're talking about the feud that is Kevin Steen versus El Generico, and of course it is moved on to NXT, and it is now known as Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens. And aside from the name change, very much the same feud, maybe less sacrilegious imagery, but
less and less bad language.
And less bad language. And less chair shots to the head.
Dead, which is a good thing, I think. That's the only good thing about it.
Other than that, very, very similar feud. But you're right, because at the time, when they first started this in 2009, Ring of Honor was maybe running like twice a month.
Yeah, and this is just before they got the HD Net deal.
Yes, I think when they got the deal, they were right in the middle of the feud. Not too much of the feud was actually shown on HD Net.
For obvious reasons, we'll get to them.
But this feud, it was given, it started Final Battle.
Final Battle 2009?
Yes, Final Battle 2009, and the first blow off was in 2010, Final Battle 2010. So they went a year. They went a year, and not only did they go a year, but they inserted other characters into the story,
which added to it.
Yeah, other bit players that enhanced the overall story, and at the end they had a blow off and it made you feel good, and they rewarded you for paying attention and for being invested.
Yes.
I like
They did bring it back a couple of years later for a couple of months.
Yeah, they did a one off. And I think they did the one-off because they knew that Generico was on his way out. Which, you know, it was a great one-off. The return
of
Ladder War.
It was very special. And you know what? The thing I love about the Ring of Honor stuff is they always do their blow-offs at their biggest iPay-per-view/pay-per-view of the year.
Yes. They're not going to blow their load on a secondary show.
Yeah, on a B show, quote unquote.
Hunter Johnson is not going to hit the panic button the way other companies do. He's going to stick to his storylines for the most part, unless, you know, a tag team champion ends up in TNA without telling them first. Then he might hit the panic button, which has happened a time or two.
Or they sign with another Connecticut-based company as their world champion.
Yes. So, yeah, they've done, I mean, this feud. Okay, so let's go back to the beginning here for us. This Kevin Steen.
I think we should. And this is worth talking about because these two were the Ring of Honor world champions for something like 234 odd days.
They held the titles for a very long time. This is true. So
they were also the best of friends.
Yeah. In fact, let's go back even further than where I wanted to go back, because both of these guys came out of Montreal, both French-Canadian guys, both worked super hard early on. Kevin Steen, and I think you've heard this story before, learned English by listening to Jim Ross call wrestling.
I'm surprised he doesn't have an Oklahoma Southern accent.
I know, right? Quite the way to learn English.
Yeah.
But that's how much this guy loved wrestling, is that's how he learned English. And then you have...
Now listen to him.
Yeah. Now he's one of the best talkers in the business. Although you wouldn't know it from what he says in NXT.
Well, you have to water him down a bit.
Yeah. And then you have El Generico, who also broke into Montreal. And they broke in at the same time. They both ended up in the same places at the same time.
2002, I believe.
And eventually they started their... They tagged in a lot of places, but where they really gained traction was in Ring of Honor in like 2007, 2008, 2009.
This is after, you know, you had some great tag teams in Ring of Honor. I mean, the Second City Saints had just finished because CM Punk's time with WWE.
Yeah.
The Kings of Wrestling were there.
Yeah, the Kings of Wrestling. Yeah, Generation Next. I think they had just wrapped up, actually, too.
And then you had the Briscoes. The Briscoes were there.
Yeah. The
Young Bucks, who will play an integral part to this thing, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, the tag team scene in Ring of Honor at that point was loaded. In fact, one could make the argument that at that time, you also had the American Wolves there at the time.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the Wolves. Yeah.
That tag team scene in Ring of Honor in 2008, 2009 was probably more stacked, I would dare
say, than the main event scene.
Than their singles main event scene.
Because at that point, yeah, Tyler Black and I think Brian Danielson was wrapping up.
Yes, he was wrapping up. You also had a...
McGinnis left.
Nigel McGinnis had just finished his title reign. Claudio Castagnoli had a really good title reign. Yeah. So they were doing a lot of stuff there. But I still argue the tag team scene was so stacked.
Oh, it was. It was very stacked.
And you had these guys, Kevin Steen, El Generico, who... I remember one particular match. They had a tables match with the American Wolves.
Which was on the DVD. Yeah.
Oh, was it? Yeah, it was freaking awesome. And they just...
They literally killed each other.
They were the tag team. They epitomized friendship. It was great. So
and they went on a bit of a losing streak, which is how this kind of came about.
Well, you know, sometimes for us, when you lose a lot, you need to find someone to blame.
Yeah, you do. And in context, they both had knee injuries. The Young Bucks had killed their knees. Generico took a month off and came back, but Steen kept going.
And that's right. And that was another thing that added to the fuel.
Yeah.
Added fuel to the fire for us. So these guys are on top. They're tag team champions forever. And El Generico and Kevin Steen. Steen Erico. Masters of the Ladder War. They earned that title. What a title to earn, by the way.
I know. It's all well and good being the master of the ladder match, which you could give to Jeff Hardy or whatever. But ladder war is something much more intense.
It's one thing being master of ladder match. Master of the Ladder War, though.
Ooh. Yeah.
That has political connotations, you know.
Absolutely. It does indeed.
So they have Kevin Steen, Generico. They have their thing going. They sort of tease the dissension between the two, but the turn doesn't come until Final Battle 2009.
And that's where they lose a match.
And Kevin Steen looks like he's going to show some compassion to El Generico.
Well, not even that. He's going to retire, it sounds like.
Yeah.
You know, he says his knees are done. He's going to retire. Thanks, everybody.
Ring of Honor does a really good job at this, too. They're very good at teasing retirements. They do this a lot. They do.
They keep going back to that well, but when they do go back to it, it's different every time.
That's why sometimes in Ring of Honor, when like somebody actually retires, it's surprising. It's a swerve. happen.
WWE are not very good at it, except for Mark Henry, who's very good at it.
Yeah. Well, it was like a one-time thing, and that was very good.
Yeah.
But Kevin Steen, he teases the retirement, and then he looks at El Generico and says, I just have one thing to say. He says, you are a worthless piece of crap.
And I hate your bleeping guts.
Yes. And he turns on him, and he smacks him in the head with a chair.
The head with a steel chair.
And he murders El Generico. And it was awesome. And this, for us.
And Ring of Honor did it really well, because they did that thing where the announcers shut up.
That's right. They let it breathe. They'll let the story happen. They don't need announcers to tell you this part.
Yes.
This is just...
yeah, they take note.
This is Kevin Steen being an asshole.
Yes, he's being a dick.
Yes, as he tends to be. And so this became infamous because they had built to this so well, this tag team breaking apart, and they did it at their biggest show of the year.
Yeah.
To talk about hitting the reset button, this was them doing that, setting up for an entire year of storytelling.
Now, the only time I remember a big major tag team slash breakup like that is when DX split up in 99, when Triple H turned on X-Pac and joined the corporation as it was then.
That son of a bitch.
Yeah.
So they go through this whole year, and Generico and Steen, their feud is not just limited to Ring of Honor. When we talk about it, I think we're talking about mostly Ring of Honor, but not only did they have that great feud there, which we're going to go into, but they also, this became like, and I think I've told you this before off the air, it reminded me of the old territorial days.
Yeah.
Where you don't just...
from promotion to promotion.
Yeah, you don't just have a particular person that's a draw. You have a match that you can take from place to place, and they're like, oh man, Generico and Steen are going to wrestle at this random indie fed. Let's go. Let's go see these
like,
guys.
It's kind of like Flair and Rhodes.
Very much so, yeah. It was very
Flair
much
Flair and Rhodes
like,
went everywhere.
Yeah, or like
Flair and Von Erich.
Or like for a tag team comparison, it's very much like Rock and
Midnight
Roll Express.
Midnight Express and Rock and Roll, yeah.
Yeah, where, you know, when you hear these guys are wrestling, you basically know you're going to get a great match. You know what the rivalry means, and it's going to be great. And you're willing to pay money to see it.
The thing about it, it was so organic because the crowd were invested in this friendship.
Yeah.
Granted, I think there was one more popular than the other, which is always the basis of jealousy and good storytelling.
Yes.
Which is why Matt and Jeff Hardy failed epically, I think.
But they turned the right person. They turned the person who's great at being jealous and great at being a heel. And El Generico has always been great at being super
being
charismatic.
A babyface. He's one of those, you can't imagine him being a heel.
No, it's very hard to imagine that. Watch
him and Ricky Steamboat, when they can't do heel.
They're going to turn him heel next week, and he's going to be awesome. I bet you. He's going to prove us wrong again.
And the thing about it is, right, this whole feud, and we'll get to some of the matches in a minute, Generico said not one word.
Exactly. It was all sympathy. And I can't even say it's all facial expressions because he had a mask.
Because he has a mask on.
But it's just the story. And you feel so bad for El Generico because Kevin Steen is... He's basically, in a way, he's telling the whole story. And El Generico's reactions are really just through his selling. That's
exactly.
It was so masterful. I thought it was so good.
Steen and Generico are the best at the silent promo.
Yeah. Yeah, they did a lot. Okay, so...
So add to this, you've got one Colt Cabana.
Yeah, you bring Cabana in. He's basically trying to reason with Kevin Steen, help Generico. And then you have this evil son of a bitch, Steve Corino, rears his ugly head.
Who has brainwashed Steen. Well, not brainwashed him.
I don't want to be that guy who gets really analytical about his wrestling. But I feel like this storyline had a lot of religious connotations to it. Of course, the most obvious is the T-shirt that Kevin Steen debuted
bloodied.
with El Generico wearing the crown of thorns on the chair.
And then he bloodied it.
Yeah. But the other one is the Steve Corino Colt Cabana thing almost to me speaks to, like, it's like Steve Corino is kind of like the snake who poisoned Kevin Steen.
Mine, yes.
Yeah, and Colt Cabana is like, I don't know, the other
angel
guy.
Angel trying to...
Yeah, trying to...
Trying to bring him back.
Trying to mend things.
Yeah.
And,
and yet, and then obviously now that and the motto of the feud was for Colt Cabana, be careful who you stand up for.
That's right.
That was the thing they kept pushing on us throughout this whole feud.
Yeah, well, Cabana just wanted to have a good time, you know. He just wants to enforce good times in Ring of Honor, and that's why he's not there anymore.
Which is a bad thing. I think he should be there.
I think he should be there too. But you know what? I think he's making a lot more money outside of Ring of Honor than he would be in Ring of Honor.
Probably.
Especially now with all their contracts and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But they...
So you have a tag team. Well, you have Steen beating the crap out of Colt Cabana.
And you have a series of tag matches, of multi-person matches. Basically, because you brought in Steve Corino and Colt Cabana, you have this awesome array of matches that you can do throughout the year, keeping things fresh, keeping things interesting. But ultimately, what you're driving toward is Steen and Generico at some point.
And it's not like they just have the tag team matches where it's just tag in and out and a quick tag team match and you get your generic. No. They will kill each other in these tag team matches. Kill each other to a certain extent. They won't do the whole blow off in one match, but they will take it to some extremes.
They'll do enough to satisfy the live crowd, and that's all you need to do.
Yep.
You also, by the way, besides doing these multi-person matches, you also had the guys challenging for the world title. So Kevin Steen challenged Tyler Black, who is now Seth Rollins for the title.
Who, by the way, is a very good babyface also.
He is very good, yes. When he came into WWE, I was actually shocked that he was the guy that turned heel on the Shield because, yeah, I've watched his babyface work and he's great at it.
Which I think they'll turn him eventually, not yet.
Yeah, but I'm not mad about it. His heel work is very good, too.
Oh, yeah, I honestly thought it would be Ambrose the one who would turn.
Yeah, yeah. So you had these guys doing their thing, and meanwhile, in PWG, they're also having a crazy feud, Steen and Generico.
Do they link the feuds? Like, will they do the interpromotional? Will it be based off of the Ring of Honor? It'll be a completely different feud.
It's very strange, the indie dynamic, especially PWG and Ring of Honor, because they're not connected, really. But they know who the audience is for PWG. And so when you say Kevin Steen and El Generico will be wrestling, you know, like, it's implied. Oh, you know, these guys have this thing going in Ring of Honor. Of course they're going to do it in PWG.
And they did it with Adam Cole, too, didn't they, just recently?
Yes, they did it with Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly.
Yeah.
I think they did less of a... Well, I don't know. I think Ring of Honor might have done that one a little bit better, but that was by accident, to be honest.
As most things are.
But PWG did a really good job with Generico and Steen because they had these guys who were feuding in Ring of Honor. Now they had them... They ended up being the final two in the Battle of Los Angeles, which is like their big tournament of the year.
For wrestling fans who don't know what PWG is, it's more like kind of like the King of the Ring.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. And the winner gets a title shot. And they ended up being the last two, and they fought and they killed each other. And in fact, El Generico was world champion. He won the title from the evil Kevin Steen in PWG. Yes. But the blow-off in Ring of Honor was going to be much more sweet because it was built to over 12 months of fighting.
Now, I think we don't give Steve Corino enough credit since we're talking about it because he was wonderful in the psychology aspect.
Yes. Oh, man.
He managed to make himself a part of the feud but not the center of the feud. He was good at the managerial role and kind of getting into some scrapes with Colt Cabana and having some tag team matches, but he didn't try and overshadow what was the initial feud.
Yeah, he did a great job of adding to the psychological element, you're right, and just helping you understand what a depraved fuck Kevin Steen is.
and it was a slow, and the DVD's called Descent into Madness. I highly recommend anybody check it out.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of deep. It's just a bunch of the matches, and they also have some of the segments.
Some of the segments, which, by the way, I'm sure you can go to www.thingsdeathsays.net in your internet service provide, whatever browser you use.
Yes.
Internet Explorer, Firefox, Chrome.
Opera.
No, not Opera. And you go to thingsdeathsays.net and you click on the thing that says, click here!
Click here!
And if you click it, it'll take you to the Amazon.com that you know and love. And I'm sure that you can find this DVD amongst many other Ring of Honor and paraphernalia there.
That's right. Purchase to your heart's content, man. They have live DVDs up there that are out of print now. I don't know if Descent into Madness is one of them, but you can definitely pick up.
I don't think this is out of print because of Kevin Steen's success at the minute.
Yeah.
Because you know what Ring of Honor are like. They're very good at commercializing on talents who are no longer with the company, who have got success right now, aka CM Punk and Daniel Bryan.
That said, they've also put out like five other Kevin Steen DVDs since this one. So
absolutely. How many Daniel Bryan DVDs are there? Like,
oh,
loads.
Man, there's like 1,000 Daniel Bryan DVDs for Ring of Honor right now.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
But yeah, it was like a slow turn. Like, first it was just because he thought Generico was shadowing him. Then he wanted to kill him.
Yeah. Then it was just
hate. He just wanted to leave him alone.
Yeah. He wanted to do his own thing. So finally, for us, we get to a point in Ring of Honor where Kevin Steen and Generico, they have their match before Final Battle. They have it at the big show before Final Battle.
Glory by Honor, wasn't it?
And they feel like we haven't done enough yet.
And the thing is, they did do more than enough, because this was the show, this was the match where, like you said, Steen wore that shirt.
Yeah. And
he also bloodied it.
And they
took Generico's blood and put it on his shirt.
Because he's a sick fuck for us, that's why.
That was the chant. That was the chant.
And
they had a few tag team matches where they used chains and whatnot. Like, whoa.
Yeah, they were very violent. It was a very violent feud. And so they think, we need to do this again, but this time there needs to be something different.
Mm. This is where they add the stipulation. Because, like you said, Generico wears a mask.
Yes.
What does any good heel want to do when they have face a masked man?
They want to steal it away in an act of evilship.
They want to expose him. Yes. Kind of like Jericho. And at this around this time, Jericho and Mysterio are doing exactly the same thing in the WWE.
That's true.
That's violent.
What if they're watching the Ring of Honor?
That's violent, but pretty much the same sort of deal.
So they feel like this company, this Ring of Honor, it's only big enough for one of us. So yes.
And again, this is where you reference the territory date.
Yeah.
Where a loser will leave a territory or a town.
And in fact, the loser did leave the territory for a while, and it worked.
And it was a wonderful match, by the way.
Yes, this
great match.
Career versus Mask at Final Battle. I think there were so many different elements that went into this match that made it so great. So much attention to detail, like the world title match, which is traditionally the main event of your wrestling show. That went on
for the most part. It should be, shouldn't it?
Yes,
we agree on this. For the most part, the world title match should all, but there are certain exceptions.
And this was one of them. So they had the world title match second to last, and then for the main event, they brought out Kevin Steen and El Generico. They made sure to point out that this match is unsanctioned.
Yes, which always adds something to it.
Yes, because if you're a fan, you don't want to stay for the whole show. If there's a part of the show that's unsanctioned, maybe you want to leave for that because you don't want to be a part of that.
Yes.
So yeah, put that at the end of the show to make it convenient for the fans.
But which fan wouldn't want to be a part of an unsanctioned match?
Exactly.
Back in the territory days when they turn off the lights.
Yeah. If you're a fan, you're like, oh, this match is unsanctioned. I'm leaving. That's bad news.
Unless you're a parent who has a young child there.
In which case you'd
be going to Ring of Honor show.
Yeah. In which case you probably should have left.
Yeah.
I hope you did. But they brought him out and they proceeded to murder each other. They just did so many chair spots, so many table spots.
There was a ladder spot.
Ladder spots. I mean, these guys, yeah, and the ladder spot was just them calling back to their tag team history.
And also, they used the pile driver as it's meant to be used, as a special thing.
That's right. This was even before Jim Cornette was involved in the company.
Yes. Now, I'm one of those people, and I think you are too, Des, that think the pile driver is one of those moves that you've got to be very, very, very sparing with.
Yes.
There are a few people who can do it and get away with it. I think the Tombstone is one of them, because Undertaker's been doing it for how many years? And I was even a bit worried when, remember when TNA, when Bully Ray did it?
Yeah.
On Sting?
Yeah, I wasn't too worried about that, because Bully Ray is a professional. He wouldn't do things if he didn't know how to do them. But I get where you're coming from. Kevin Steen is another one who has been doing the move for a really long time.
But it wasn't Kevin Steen that did it in this match.
That's right. It was a reversal of the roles.
It was El Generico. And not only did he do it once, he did it twice.
Because, God damn it, he was angry. This guy, he's like a child favorite. He's a hero. He's always happy to be with the fans. But this guy, Kevin Steen, pushed El Generico to the edge. And El Generico snapped.
It's one of those things where he just didn't do it. He did one on the apron, and the Ring of Honor apron is hard, man.
Yes, every apron
I think it's steel.
Hard.
It's steel. Yeah. But yeah, like you said, I think you can trust Generico and you can trust Steen to take the bump as it's meant to be taken. But you're right. It was El Generico, but not El Generico. Because like you said, he's a fun-loving guy. The crowd are always behind him.
But
he went to a dark place, man.
He did. And he ultimately destroyed, he unseated the evil Kevin Steen. Kevin Steen was forced to leave the company for us, and he was actually gone for a good while.
Now, where did he go? Was he taking time off? Was this did he have a tryout with the WWE?
No, I think during this time they just took him off just to enforce the stipulation, make it more believable. He was still working in PWG and companies like that, so
okay.
it was just them saying, "Hey, let's make sure that we respect the fans and actually honor a stip, which is a novel thing to do these days. It never happens.
Take note, other big companies.
And the way they brought Steam back, I thought,
was quite clever too.
They made it feel very organic because they just had fans.
He turned on Carino.
Well, that, but they also had fans coming in and saying, like, you know, we want you to bring Steam back. Bring back Kevin Steen.
Yeah.
Until Nigel McGuinness and Jim Cornette didn't want to do it. They said, no, Kevin Steen can't come back. He lost.
Damn it.
And so Steen would like show up in the crowds and stuff. It was so slow.
And when he did come back, he wasn't under like quote unquote contract with Ring of Honor.
Right. He was just
a guy. He was doing stuff with Carino and he turned on Carino, who had turned face at this point.
Yeah, he became this comedy character.
Yes, who had turned face and was doing stuff with the House of Truth, wasn't it?
I think he was. Yeah. He was just losing to the House of Truth over and over again because
Steen came out, helped him clear them out, and then turned on him himself, kind of like how Triple H did with Flair.
And so, a year after Kevin Steen lost and was forced to leave the company, he was put in a special match. I think it was also unsanctioned, by the way,
with Carino.
Against Carino, and if he won, he would get his job back. It was very. I thought it was very well told. It was very.
Yeah.
Well,
if you leave the guy out of the company for a good year, and the fans want him back, and they know he's around, but they want him back. He hasn't signed with any other big companies, and he's a good worker. And if you hold off and you hold off and you hold off, it will work.
And in fact, it worked. Not only did Kevin Steen have a match with Steve Carino, he murdered him in this match.
Yes.
Destroyed him.
Is this the match where Steve Carino had a perforated eardrum?
I don't remember.
I think it might have been.
Might have been. Because they had another match a few months later.
Where Steve Carino lost like something like 70% of his hearing in one ear.
That poor guy. And I bet that's not the worst thing that's happened to him.
No, because he was in ECW.
That's right. And I think he did a lot of stuff in Japan.
Did he do CZW as well? I think he might have.
He must have.
Of course he did.
So anyway,
very nice people, by the way, there.
Steen comes back. He does his feud. And he say what you want to say about the Kevin Steen versus Jim Cornette thing. It was kind of weird.
Explain this to me. Like, I don't get it still.
It's just Kevin Steen had a problem with Jim Cornette, and he was...
He's not the only one, though, is he?
It was a very real problem that they decided to put on television because they wanted to be cheeky about it. But the dynamic was all wrong because Steen was the heel and he was saying things that the fans agreed with because, you know, Ring of Honor fans, they don't want...
They're not stupid.
They don't want their product to be Smoky Mountain Wrestling. That's kind of how Jim Cornette was treating it.
Yes.
And so it was just...
Smoky Mountain Wrestling was good for its time. It was... And you know the thing about, I don't think people understand about Smoky Mountain. It really was like a developmental for the WWE. It really, really was.
And it was just a weird, weird dynamic.
Weird, strange dynamic.
So what they ended up doing was they I think Jim Cornette had to leave. He just had to leave. They had to kill the story.
Yeah.
And he left Ring of Honor. But what ended up happening, because of this heel character of Kevin Steen, anti-authority, he won the title from Davey Richards.
Was this a Border Wars? I think it might have been.
Yeah, it was. He ran through everybody. And then at the November pay-per-view, first of all, he had an amazing match with Michael Elgin that tore the house down in Toronto.
Oh, yes. I've seen this.
Absolutely amazing. I love that match to this day. And then after the match, Nigel McGuinness brings Kevin Steen the secret package. Kevin Steen is just so happy that he won the title or that he retained the title and he's celebrating and being a heel and
he cuts an awesome promo, by the way. I remember this.
Yeah, he gets on the microphone. He just buries the fans. It was amazing. And by the way, the fans still cheered him because Kevin Steen.
You know, the one thing about wrestling fans, we are stupid.
Yeah.
We will cheer things like that.
That's right. And then he finally opens the mat. He opens the box. It falls open and Kevin Steen drops it in horror and he steps back. And then we see that in the box is a lone mask. And just a fucking mask gets the biggest pop of the night. It was awesome.
Pop of the night.
And that was all you needed to set up for Generico and Steen for one more time.
Which also, again, makes the point that you don't need to have a face-to-face confrontation to set up a match.
Wrestling is a business built on ideas. And if you have an idea, that's all you need.
Yes, which is why the Hogan-Sting feud in 97 was so good. The match wasn't great. The build was, though.
Was that where he was gone for like a year?
Yeah.
And
when he came, he didn't do many in-ring confrontations, right? He used to come down and clear the NWO out every so often.
Yeah.
But he wasn't there every week.
Kudos to the people for having the patience. Kudos to Eric Bischoff for having the patience to say, let's...
And we don't often give Eric... Unless Steve's here, we don't often give credit to Eric Bischoff.
I'll never give Eric Bischoff credit, except for that this one time. Because, yeah, that was a great thing to do.
And I think... You know the thing that annoys, and we've had this rant on the People's Podcast a few times. But most wrestling fans, unfortunately,
yeah,
are just not patient anymore. We're just not.
I think, and you brought it up earlier, it's because of how Ring of Honor was structured at that time. They did have a weekly TV show, but it wasn't a weekly TV show, if that makes sense. It was
it was a weekly TV show in the sense that if you were a diehard Ring of Honor fan, you'd know when it was on.
And it wasn't like week to week, like you can miss a week and still be caught up because it was like a recap show more than it was a
pretty much. And they put matches from house, like kind of like how Worldwide used to be.
A little bit. Yeah, that's kind of how it was. So they had that.
Memphis TV.
They ran shows like maybe twice a month. They would have a TV taping. They would have a live show. And they had just started doing iPay-per-views. But at that time, it was such
a... Go Fight Live.
Yeah, it was such a... glitchy business.
Oh, this is after Go Fight Live. Yeah.
No. This was still Go Fight Live.
Oh, and this is, yeah, when Gabe was there.
This was, well, Gabe was gone, but this was a very glitchy business.
But this is, and they were also, we were talking about 2012 now, so this is the period where Ring of Honor had started putting the pay-per-views on their own website.
Was it 2012? Oh, that's right, because Border Wars was the first.
Because that was the Border Wars one where you convinced me.
That's right.
Pay my money and stay up, and I did. I didn't watch anything.
That's right. That was a terrible time. Well, hey, now they're on traditional pay-per-view, so.
Yep. And even the iPay-per-view seems to be working now, to be fair. They've done a couple. So
they did the final match, Ladder War, which was the big blow-off to the Ring of Honor feud.
And this was very also clever marketing by Ring of Honor because they didn't do it at their traditional time.
Right.
This was around Christmas time. It was the same night as the TLC pay-per-view. So what Ring of Honor decided to do was rather than move it a day or, you know, do it a week earlier, they did it on that Sunday, but yeah, they did it in the afternoon.
They did it in the afternoon. Because why not? They don't have to be traditional.
Exactly. And it was prime time for people like me.
So,
And again, Dez had to convince me because I was very hesitant.
So they ended up doing the match and it was awesome, of course. And of course, Kevin Steen.
Wonderful ladder war match.
The final spot in that match was Kevin Steen giving El Generico a package pile driver on two ladders that were bridged on top of each other. It was the scariest fucking thing I've ever seen.
It was ridiculous.
Those guys work so hard.
We've seen Foley fall off cells and Jeff Hardy do spots off ladders, but that was frightening.
And it was clear that they were just having the best time. Like, they were telling the best story, and they loved every second of it. It was great. That's what wrestling should be. Maybe not so many pile drivers on ladders, but other than that, that's what wrestling should be.
Maybe they should calm down on the unprotected chair shot for that.
Yes, exactly.
Calm down. It's a $50,000 fine, by the way.
That's right.
But we thought it was over at that point.
Well, yeah. Well, in Ring of Honor, it was over.
It was over, but it wasn't over, was it? Because Steen eventually turned face again, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Again, we're going to head over to Los Angeles.
Well, here's the thing, because again, these things are very much not connected, except they are, because POWG is very weird. So you come into PWG, and the news is all over at this point that Sami Zayn, El Generico, Rami Savay is going to the WWE.
In fact,
that news first broken by our friends at PW Ponderings, because why not give them a shameless plug?
Absolutely. They have been good to us and we will be good to them in return.
So they break this news. So what does PWG go and do? They have DDT4, which is their annual tag team tournament. And they decide for the final entry, and by the way, it wasn't even supposed to be this. Originally, the tag team was Kevin Steen and someone from Japan, but that person ended up not being able to fly out, so they had to reshuffle. And
fate works like that, though, sometimes, doesn't it?
It's weird how fate works like that. If that guy from Japan had gotten his visas cleared in the right amount of time, they wouldn't have had this amazing moment.
Mm.
But, in fact, they reshuffled, and it ended up being Kevin Steen and El Generico going in to the DDT4. And
as I said, and as I pointed out, Steen wasn't a heel at this point. He was a babyface, so it worked.
He was. He has a weird thing in PWG where he's a heel, but people love him, and he's like a lovable heel. It's strange.
Yes. There aren't many of those, though, are there?
Now, I was there at the DDT 4, and so I remember...
Okay, I'm going to let you handle this one, because you were actually there. So
I remember
you
how
felt
they,
it.
I remember how they told the story, because they had three matches that night. The first match, Kevin Steen didn't tag in once. He let El Generico do all the work. He was just a dick. He hung it on the apron. Generico won for them, and Steen just kind of... He said, you did good, and he just acknowledged it, but that's it. Second match... He came out of a shell more. They worked together more. And at the end, they shook hands. And they were in the finals against the Young Bucks.
That was against the Briscoes, by the way.
Yes. Final match against the Young Bucks. Main event.
I love the Young Bucks, by the way. Sorry.
This match. This is where all this stuff was born. All this super kick party stuff was born in PWG. Yep. And they had their match. They worked together. They had a great tag match. But they were unceremoniously robbed. The Young Bucks won the DDT4 and the Tag Team Championships.
It was a screwy finish. It really was.
But the real story was afterwards. They cleared the ring of the Bucks. And Kevin Steen, this man who had this blood feud with El Generico.
And he didn't shake his hand at the beginning because the fans were not happy about that.
That's right. He had this blood feud with El Generico for the last 5 years. He basically sheds any character and just lets Generico...
No kayfabe.
Just lets Generico know that, you know, we kicked each other's asses for the last 5 years. We worked really hard, but I'm just so happy for you for where you're going, and I'm going to miss you.
Yep.
And they hug, and it was one of the most emotional moments that I've ever been a part of live in wrestling.
What was it like? Like, the only thing I could comprehend to that kind of thing was what there were two moments in my wrestling watching history where I was a little bit emotional, and that was the Flair match with HBK.
Yeah.
And the Michaels Taker 2. For obvious reasons.
I think those are very different things. I understand the emotion because those were two amazing moments. But I think they're different in the sense that both of those moments, those guys had established careers and they were wrapping them up and it was amazing to see them right off into the sunset after having this amazing thing. I think with...
Generico was just starting.
Generico, he had an amazing career on the indies. And there were two reactions that night. Everyone cheered. Everyone was positive. But there were two feelings. One was Generico, he created all these moments for us. And in a selfish way, we didn't want to see him leave.
Right, right. But that's, you know, that's bound to happen because the indies.
And yeah, because you create.
Indies, we can put it, we say Ring of Honor are quite bigger than the indies, but they're not. They're still an indie company, in my opinion. The indies are losing possibly one of their biggest draws and biggest talents.
Absolutely. And somebody who is... I think at that point, Generico was like winning Wrestler of the Year and stuff in the Observer Awards without even being in a top company. That's the level he had gotten to.
Yeah, exactly. At that point, I think Daniel Bryan was just killing everybody in the Observer newsletter. But you know what I'm saying?
Well,
I think he was
winning like Technical Wrestler of the Year. I think those are two different categories. So what they ended up... So that was one reaction. And the other reaction was everyone there, by the way, the entire time was chanting, "We will miss you and you deserve it."
And the Olays have to ring out.
And of course, Olay. And everyone was just so happy. It was almost like you grew up with someone and now you're getting to watch them go on to the next big phase of their career.
And you kind of have, you especially have kind of grew up in your wrestling watching life with El Generico.
It was incredible. It was this one. And then again, later with Kevin Steen, when he left as well. But
was it at PWG too?
I don't think Steen had his moment in PWG. I don't think it worked out that way, which really sucks.
I think the California crowd especially really appreciate that kind of sentimental and emotional aspect, much more than I think any other city.
It was very emotional. I think the only other thing was when Drake left. It was really emotional as well because he's now refereeing in NXT. But Drake Younger... was one of those guys who hadn't really gotten the respect he deserved because he had been typecast as being the CZW guy who did a lot of stupid shit with
crazy stuff.
Yeah. I mean, he would have syringe matches in Japan. Like, he was fucking insane.
Whoa, hang on a second. What?
Yeah, he would have syringe matches.
What the hell is a syringe match?
It's exactly what you think it is.
The winner has to...
You just hit each other with syringes, and it's very dangerous and very... Very,
I'm not sure about that match.
Yeah, well, it's Japan. What do you expect?
Yeah, Japan are the places where, was it Foley and Funk had that, was it the barbed wire matches?
Yeah, that's so tame compared to now.
In comparison to a syringe match,
that's a cakewalk. So anyway, he came back to the States, and PWG was really where he had his coming out party as, well, I can also wrestle. Like, I don't have to just be a CZW guy or a,
did it work? Like, did he prove himself to the fans?
Yeah, he absolutely did. He was the fan favorite. And I think there was a point where every single month people expected Drake Younger to win the Battle of Los Angeles. People expected Drake Younger to win the PWG title. And it just never really, it never happened. And I think it would have happened, but he eventually got signed. Yeah. He got signed before that story could really hit its crescendo.
So are you disappointed that now he's just a referee?
I was at first, but he's having the best time of his life. He's comfortable.
He gets to live the dream, kind of, doesn't he? Because he's in the WWE, but yeah, he's not taking the stupid bumps.
But you know what, though? This is what he wants, though, because he has a family now.
Yeah.
And the fact that he doesn't have to bump around, maybe he'll do a match someday, but he doesn't have to bump around. He gets to work. I mean, the biggest
company in the world.
The first night, it was Kevin in the ring when Kevin Owens made his debut.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens, and then in the ring was Drake Younger. Like, that was awesome.
Yeah, that's a great moment, isn't it, for any indie fan? Let's talk about that. Let's go fast forward, because this isn't the...
Yes. So when Sami Zayn went to NXT, there was some degree of uncertainty at that point, because nobody was really sure what Triple H's vision of NXT was going to be. We knew Sami Zayn was kind of a small guy. They didn't want to take the...
This is before they signed people like Adrian Neville.
That's what I'm saying. So we didn't know what it was going to be. Was he just going to be like some job guy, like the next Yoshitatsu?
But as we come to learn and come to experience, Triple H's vision of NXT is something where you get a wrestling education, but also get to be in front of a live crowd, in front of an international audience on the network, and you do get to showcase yourself.
And that's exactly what it was. But at the time, again, nobody expected Sami Zayn to be... Because right now, let's be honest, Sami Zayn is the cornerstone of NXT.
Yes.
Honestly, I think he's getting moved up after WrestleMania, just judging by the finish.
I hope not. I don't think they should move him just yet. I want to see where they go with this Owens feud.
I agree with you, but...
Leave him there for another year at least, please.
I don't know. We'll see.
I've also heard people saying, because you're right. In NXT, Triple H is allowing these guys to flourish, but in WWE, Vince has overall say, final say.
That's absolutely true, but I also have arguments for and against keeping Sami Zayn there for another year, because he's been there for 2 years, and he's not getting any younger.
I agree with you, but again... Triple H is struggling to get his ideas across to Vince anyway at the minute. We know this.
I think there are a lot of guys that you can bring up to WWE and have them fail. Look at Bo Dallas, Bo Dallas was designed to be a failure.
He was designed to fail. Okay. I think the Ascension will fail, definitely.
They already have failed.
Well, it looks like they're going to get a tag team run with the Usos, so we'll see.
No, they're failures. You brought the Ascension out and you humiliated them. 60-year-old men humiliated them. There's no going back from that. They're done.
Okay.
But there's one guy that you can bring up and you can throw as much crap you want at him and he's not going to fail. And I'm
like Daniel Bryan?
Like Daniel Bryan, and that's Sami Zayn. This guy is too good. He's just too
likable. I agree with you, because we'll discuss that promo in a second, because we haven't talked about how this started. I agree with you, but I'm a little bit worried that he might get lost in that shuffle, because you've got people like... And I hate to quote Vince, because this is completely—it's completely crap that the fans didn't resonate with Cesaro, and there was no link there. I'm a little bit worried that Sami Zayn might have that same problem.
No, but Zayn has 1,000 times the charisma that Cesaro has.
I agree with you.
Times.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. But the average wrestling fan might not think so. Me and you are different because we know better.
No, the way I evaluate Sami Zayn is from the point of view of an average wrestling fan. It's like when you go to a party and you find the guy who's like, he's the guy that everybody's gravitating towards, which I promise you is not me. But the guy that
I know the stories,
the guy that everybody wants to hang out with, and just because he's cool, he's just a cool, nice guy. And that's Sami Zayn. I don't care if you're a wrestling fan or not. If you see Sami Zayn, so, you're going to be like, I want this guy to succeed.
Do you think he has that kind of Jeff Hardy sort of charisma? He's a better wrestler than Jeff Hardy, I'll give you that, obviously.
I think Jeff Hardy had a different kind of charisma. Jeff Hardy's charisma was more like, this guy's a badass. He'll do anything to win, and I fucking love that. Okay. Sami Zayn is more like, this guy just embodies everything that I believe in.
Daniel Bryan-esque.
Yeah. But anyway.
I think Daniel Bryan had to work on that a bit, though.
Yeah, I think he still does.
Probably.
So, anyway, you had Sami Zayn. He went up to NXT, and again, there was uncertainty. You had Kevin Owens, Kevin Steen.
Who's going from strength to strength in the indies.
Yes. He gets signed.
And you can kind of tell it was like his retirement, you know, indie retirement tour type thing. That makes sense?
Here was the thing, because Kevin Steen on the indies, he basically took over the El Generico role.
As the babyface?
Not so much that, but Generico, this is another thing that a lot of people don't talk about. Generico was making a lot of money on the indies. He was
The merchant, the masks would sell a hell of a lot.
Exactly. The masks, the shirts. Again, this is a guy who never
Ring of Honor put out a couple of DVDs on him too, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. This is a guy who didn't cut promos regularly, and when he did, they were in fake broken Spanish.
His Spanish accent was awful, by the way, to say. Sorry, it was.
This is coming from the British guy. He had his mask for sale. He had his shirts for sale. He would hustle like everyone else and sell shirts at the tables. This dude was making a lot of money. I call it almost like the Colt Cabana rule, because this is what Colt's doing right now, and he's making a lot of money. Basically, El Generico became his own brand. Then he went to WWE, and he gave that up for the chance to chase his dream, which is awesome and very, very admirable. So Kevin Steen took over that role, basically, where he had his own his premium podcast that he did on High Spots.
Some of them have been released on DVD. I don't understand that.
All of them. Like, huh? They're all very good.
All of them?
Yeah.
Were actually, they all filmed? They must have been then.
Yeah, they were meant for DVD.
All right. Kind of like the Austin ones that he's done on the network. Okay.
Yeah, they're basically shoot interviews. I don't know why I call them podcasts. They were And he had basically spun himself into being his own brand too.
As well as having awesome matches, because he did.
Yes, he did. And so, of course,
just before he left, by the way, just out of curiosity.
When he left, he had some great matches with Adam Cole. He was wrestling.
Everyone had great matches with Adam Cole.
His retirement match, quote unquote, in Ring of Honor was against Steve Corino, because that's what he wanted. And I thought
it makes sense.
That was so poetic to do it that way, because
absolutely.
It was Steve Corino in storyline who brought out the side of Kevin
Steen. Yeah.
And that's the side
who made him into a singles
star. That's the side of Kevin Steen that has become everyone so marketable. Knows. That's the side of Kevin Steen that WWE is marketing right now.
Absolutely.
So he signed. We think Kevin Steen. I would always say Kevin Steen is never getting signed by WWE.
This conversation on the People's Podcast before even Throwback Fires started. We would discuss who we thought Triple H would sign next.
Yes.
And I always asked, what would you do with Kevin Steen? And you were like, nah, he's too. Firstly, his promo work is too aggressive.
Yes. And also, he was very fat. There's no way about it. Like, he has a body type that is not conducive to what WWE is after, unless they want to make him a comedy character.
Yes. But, and as we've seen with, there's been some releases made by Triple H and NXT in the WWE. If you don't work hard at the Performance Center, they won't do anything with you.
That's right. So they signed Steen. He did a very good job of leaning out. He's still not the lightest guy in the world, but he's much leaner than he used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in fact proving everybody wrong, and they're pushing him to the moon. He's there for 2 months, and he gets a shot at the world title.
Now let's talk about that, because not only did they push him before now, they were pushing him before he even stepped into the ring.
Yeah, they were doing promos and stuff. They know the hype.
Triple H knows what he's doing.
So, in fact, the first night Steen or Kevin Owens is in the company.
By the way, that first match when he came out, that ovation was ridiculous.
It was ridiculous, and then the fact that he started bleeding made it more ridiculous.
I don't know how Triple H felt about that, but yeah.
Well, it's not like it was his fault. Then, of course, the end of the Sami Zayn-Adrian Neville match.
By the way, which, again, was a great match.
When Kevin
We had
Owens,
a new world champion. Well, ECW, not ECW, NXT.
When Kevin Owens came out and celebrated.
You knew, didn't you?
That's the thing. I didn't know. I thought they were trying to be poetic and say, this is Kevin.
Those two have come up together, and now he's the NXT champion.
Yeah, it's awesome. And maybe I should have seen it coming, but I'm just an idiot. Because I was just so wrapped up in the oh my God, this is awesome. Like, El Generico just beat Pac for the NXT title, and Kevin Steen is here, and they're all celebrating together.
It's a wrestling fan's dream. A real, like, yeah. For people like you and me, anyway.
And then they celebrate, and then they, like, break apart.
And then the ring clears out. The ring clears.
Yeah, you think, okay, it's over. And then the fucker kills him. And I just screamed. It was the best.
I tell you, he was also very good at that in that one segment, William Regal.
Yes. William Regal's just been great lately.
Yes.
Especially like 2 weeks ago, there was an episode of NXT where he came out like three times because the wrestlers
things
kept...
were happening.
Yeah. And he's like, that's my job. I have to come out. So I'm coming out now.
Kind of like how Mick Foley used to do back in the day.
Yeah. And what I love about Regal, too, is if the fans cheer for him, he'll be like, no.
You cheer for them.
It was great. He's a great man. But anyway, the fact that they brought this feud to NXT.
Which also means that Triple H, as much as he won't say he wasn't watching, was watching. He was paying attention.
I don't even think that's so much it. I just think he sees the chemistry that Owens and Zayn have with each other. He knows their friendship. And I think he's, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if he's just letting them take the lead with this. Because they've done this before.
Creatively, I think he'll let them take the lead. He'll write stuff, obviously. But yeah.
I think he's letting them sort of run that. Because they're doing fine with it. And this... Because you wouldn't expect this from WWE. They're not sweeping their history under the rug.
No.
They're obviously, they can't mention brand names and stuff, but they've acknowledged.
The indies.
Yeah, what these guys have done.
And the thing about it is, this time there's an added element to this feud because you've got Zayn, Generic, or whatever you want to call him, actually cutting promos.
And guess what? He's really good at it.
And guess what? He's really good at it. This is why I think... And you sit, we go and listen back to Monday's show where Dez and I talked about the NXT special. This is why Dez said that he thinks Zayn is going to be an absolute star because his mic work is phenomenal as well as his in-ring work.
Yeah, this guy, I think you'd be hard pressed to find somebody who's closer to being the next real star. That's it, man. Sami Zayn, and Kevin Steen. And this thing's still not over. It's still going.
It's still not over. We haven't even talked about this match yet. This match on NXT Arrival.
The match they had at Arrival
was brutal without being brutal. Does that make sense?
It was an amazing story that they told.
Yes.
And this feud, ever since it started, it's been a masterclass of telling stories. This was a whole new story.
Yeah, they've completely changed the storybook. It's a completely different book now. It's nothing like what they did in the indies. This is completely different.
Oh, you wanted to get Kevin Owens over?
You got him over.
There's no better way to get Kevin Owens over than having him come in, having him...
Powerbomb.
First of all, having him powerbomb your champion, having him manipulate his way into getting a title shot. His second match in the company, by the way.
Yes.
And winning because he beat Sami Zayn so badly.
And he didn't pin him, and there was no pin, there was no submission. He won by knockout.
He beat TKO. Him so badly that the referee had to stop it. That's how you get someone over.
That's definitely how you get someone over. And like you said, it's not done yet.
It's not done yet. I expect and a little
bit more. You know, the ultimate dream for these two is for them to one day headline WrestleMania.
I predict that will happen. For a world title. They will close WrestleMania and they will close it for the world title. It's going to happen. Obviously not soon.
Not next year. Obviously not this year. But not next year.
But it's going to happen.
Maybe in 2 years' time.
I don't know. I'd give it a lot longer than that. But they will get there.
And that is why a lot of these guys get into the business for moments like they had in Ring of Honor, like they had at NXT, and like we're predicting they will have in the big league.
Word. Great stuff.
We don't usually do positive throwback vibes, do we?
Yeah, but these guys deserved it, man. They killed each other. They earned it. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Winners,
two
man.
Feuds of the year in their respective years.
That's
that
right.
We've done for the first 2 months.
Damn right. I love
next
it, dude.
Next month.
Let them know what we're doing next month.
Next month is WrestleMania season.
Yeah, it is.
We all know this. And what better way to do WrestleMania than... And if anybody knows me, well, everybody who listens to this podcast knows who my two guys are. This is going to be my... I'm going to love this next
this
month.
This is yours, man. This one, I jumped on. I said I want to do this one. Next month, it's the other way around.
I didn't suggest it, did I? I didn't say it. I didn't want to say it because it would be too obvious.
This is my feud, though, man. This is the feud that I'm going to tell my kids about.
We are doing Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker. Not just from WrestleMania 25 and 26, but their whole entire career feud. So going all the way back to 1997 and the first Hell in a Cell.
Way back. We're taking it way back. Way back into the last century. That's how far back we're going.
Exactly. And Shawn, and you can argue that it was Shawn Michaels in his prime in 97. So we're going to heel Shawn Michaels all the way to babyface Shawn Michaels. And Undertaker's always just been, well, he's Undertaker.
That's next month on Throwback Vibes. I'm excited. I hope you can join us for that. I'm having a great time so far with this format.
Because we're actually talking about something we enjoy.
We're not talking about 1998 WCW anymore.
Thank God for that. Well, I don't think we're ever going to do anything like that again.
Nope. All right. So we're out of here. At Des Delgadillo, at The Wisp on Twitter.
Hashtag West Coast Wisp. Please help me out. I really would appreciate it. Well, going back, listen back to Monday's show for my emotionally hyped promo.
There you go. Let them know, man. And subscribe on iTunes. Use the Amazon link and buy this DVD that we talked about and so many
I'm sure there's a Generico DVD out there. Buy that, too.
There are many Generico DVDs you can buy. In fact, I think PWG has like a three-part DVD that you can buy.
Buy them. You know, buy them all. Buy them all.
That's it, man. Thanks for listening. See you next month. And if you don't listen to next month's show, well, then Ferez has got two words for you.
Piss off.